tonight, since we're not doing a missions lesson, we'll be doing something else. A while ago, I started putting together some lessons. It was actually supposed to be a series of just quick devotionals that all kind of got tied together, hopefully in some kind of rational order. But it's all on heaven. And what kicked this off is I did a class with the teens, and we talked about, you know, looking forward to the goal. Keep your eyes on the goal. And, keep your eyes on reaching God in heaven. And in the Bible, it tells us, and we're going to look at this, that we need to be talking about this. We need to be knowing about this. And yet, how many Christians can't really tell you much about heaven? And I was looking at these teens, and I thought, how much do they really know? You know, we tell them, get saved, and we tell them the do's and the don'ts, and then we sort of drop the ball. And we don't finish the story. We don't tell them why they need to do the do's and don't do the don't do's. And we don't tell them about this. So I started putting this together, and I read this book quite a while ago. It's called Heaven, appropriately named, by Randy Alcorn. And if you haven't read it, I highly recommend it. It's easy to read. It's quick. It's relatively thick, but it flows. It's not a deep theological, you know, if you tend to shy away from those church type books, this one's safe. This is good. And he really looks at some different aspects of heaven, and it's all scriptural. It's not a lot of, you know, crazy wild ideas that you sometimes hear out there. It's all based in the Word of God, and it's a great, great book. So, part of this was stolen from that. Part of this was stolen from another class that I did with the teens actually this morning on heaven. The book actually tied it all up and got into that, so I was happy about that. But we're going to look at heaven. 1 Thessalonians 4, the second half of 17 and verse 18 says, "And so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage one another with these words." Encourage one another with these words. How often do we encourage one another with these words about heaven? Unfortunately, and sadly, not very often. How often do we even talk about heaven or the end times or eternity or anything like that, other than maybe to get into some kind of a heated debate as to whether it's, you know, pre or post or, you know, the theological deep stuff. But how often do we talk about heaven and how awesome it's going to be, what it's going to be like, and what we're going to do there? We don't. We don't discuss these things. And how much do we even know about heaven? I was so tempted when I was putting this together to write up like a little questionnaire and just do a whole bunch of true false questions and see how people did, you know, on what heaven will be like. How much do we really even know? How much have we thought about it or studied it? And the more I thought about this, the more I thought, you know, we probably have more ideas from Hollywood and what the movies are telling us that the afterlife is going to be like than what we have that's scriptural. We have this idea that we're going to be floating around on clouds playing harps, right? I mean, you know, what else would heaven be? You know, or the one that just always filled me with great fear and trembling as a child. Heaven is what my church, you know, they kind of talked about. Heaven will be an eternal church service. And in my mind, my young mind, I'm just thinking, oh, please send me to hell. It's got to be better. You know, but we have this, you know, this idea of just sitting around, you know, in our little pews in heaven worshiping God, you know, oh, you know, thank you. Or you know, the girls and I, we just watch this movie and you see this same theme over and over and over. You know, when you die, you get to like this in-between place and you have to come back to earth and perform some amazing good deed and then you will earn your wings, right? We see that theme over and over in Hollywood. And these things are not true. You know? But unfortunately, as Christians, a lot of times that's what we know. When we think of heaven, we think of this stuff. And we need to know the truth. So hopefully tonight, you will leave here with a better understanding and maybe a greater excitement, I'm hoping a greater excitement, for heaven and why we want to strive to get there. So in order to get to heaven, we're going to go all the way back in time, back to the beginning, because that's crucially important, and we're going to do that a couple of times tonight. So we're going to go way back to the beginning, right back to the Garden of Eden, because that in the beginning was very close to heaven. That was paradise. We had all this wonderful food in abundance, this tasty, terrific, great stuff just growing around that we could help ourselves to. Adam and Eve had enjoyable work. They were supposed to tend the garden. But think about this. There's no weeds, and there's plenty of water. And so tending the garden is not, you know, this awful task. It wasn't really work, but that was the job that they were given. They were to tend the garden with love and compassion and care for it. And they had this open relationship with God, this face-to-face relationship with their God. And how wonderful, you know, to have that awesome opportunity to talk with God like that. Of course, this all didn't last very long, and we had to fall. And things spiraled very quickly and went from bad to worse. And then the flood came along, and it went from bad to worse again. And now here we are. And sometimes I think we've lived on this earth for so long that we forget that there's something better coming. We start thinking that this is normal. You know, have you ever, you know, lived with a pain or something for so long that it's just like a part of who you are and it's normal, you know? And it's not. This is not what God intends as normal. This is not what he had planned as his ultimate earth. This is not it at all. He has something so much better planned for us. He has the new heaven and the new earth planned for us. And the time will come when this will all pass away and the new will be brought in. And that will be normal and that will be good and that will be worth living on. So I'm going to have a whole bunch of scriptures tonight. And I said to Andy, you know, this would be a really good one if I was technologically anything other than stupid, I could have a PowerPoint presentation with these things on it. Sorry, that's not going to happen from me. But I'm going to have a whole bunch of scriptures. And if you're interested, you can have my notes and you can, you know, jot down the references or whatever, or I can email them to you. But I'm going to be bouncing from scripture to scripture. So I don't know if you want to try to keep up looking them up or just follow along as best you can. But the first one is Revelations 21:1. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. So here we see this new heaven and new earth. It's right there in God's word. And it's not just the only place. 2 Peter 3:13. But in keeping with his promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth where righteousness dwells. Where righteousness dwells. That should fill you with excitement. What dwells on this earth? Not a lot of righteousness. We're going to be where righteousness dwells. Isaiah 65:17. See, I will create new heavens and a new earth. The former things will not be remembered, nor will they come to mind. Not only will there be a new one, but it's going to be so awesome and so great that we're not even going to remember the old one. It's not going to be worth remembering. This is not normal. This is not the intention. Something great is coming. It's going to be a new heaven and a new earth where God will dwell among men. And God will be right there with us. We're going to look at that a little bit more in a bit. But heaven is a city. And I know especially in our area where we like our country life, it's sort of hard to think of heaven as a city because, you know, I'm not really crazy about cities personally. But heaven is a city. Heaven is the new Jerusalem. And we're going to look at this. The new Jerusalem will be coming down onto earth. But it's a city. But think about a city and take out the crime and take out the pollution and take out all that stuff and think about what's left. Hebrews 11:10 said, this is the great faith chapter here, for he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. He's looking forward to the city with foundations. This is an actual city. This isn't some pretend, you know, mythological whatever city. This is not just imagery. This is a city with foundations, a real city. Hebrews 13:14 says, "For here we do not have an enduring city, but we are looking for the city that is to come." This city is going to pass away, and we're watching for the one to come. And Revelation 21:2-3 says, "I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them and will be their God.'" That's beautiful. Just think about that, the city coming down on earth, and he will dwell among them. Again, this is the city without crime, without pollution, without traffic jams, without any of that stuff. And when you strip all of that out of a city, think about what's left. We have culture and art and architecture and music and beautiful things all around us. And in heaven, we're not only going to have the music and the art and the culture from one period of time like we do now, but throughout all of history, all of the past world coming together with all of the beautiful things that it created into this new Jerusalem. It has the line there, beautifully dressed as a bride for her husband. Think about a bride. We talked about this verse this morning, you know, the teens, and Garrett read it, and he read the verse, he's like, "Isn't that sweet?" And then he moved on, you know. as only a teenager could do, especially a guy, you know, "Isn't that sweet?" Yeah, move on. But think about a bride. What is the one day that she really cares about what she looks like? You know, she buys the beautiful dress. You know, when I got married, I actually wore makeup. You know, like look at me, you know, and jewelry. You know? I wanted to look good. I looked my best that day. And of course, you know, the bride, she's radiant, she's happy, she's glowing, you know, all those things. All the things that a bride should be. How much preparation goes into making a bride beautiful on that special day? And so this is what the city is being compared to. This is not just an ordinary city. This is the extravagant, the beautiful, the time and effort that went into the creation of this incredible city coming down onto earth, this beautiful bride city. And just like in a regular city, you know, people go to the city because they're looking for work. You need jobs. And so in this city, there's going to be jobs. There's going to be conventions or something like that, some kind of gatherings. There's going to be all sorts of activities. Cities are a hustle and bustle of activity. And heaven is going to be no different than that. The New Jerusalem is going to be people coming and going and all sorts of things going on and things to do. But it's all going to be pleasant, and it's all going to be pleasing to God. When you go into a city today, it's not always pleasant, and it's certainly not always pleasing to God. But this is all going to be good, and just giving God the glory in this great new Jerusalem. It says, God will dwell with them. Now, God doesn't change. His plan doesn't change. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so it has always been his plan to dwell with his people. It's just that the people messed it all up. So again, let's go back to the beginning and go back to Eden. God walked with man in paradise. We read that. He walked in the cool of the day. God walked side by side in the presence of Adam and Eve. And then the fall came. Come forward. Jesus, also known as Emmanuel. What does Emmanuel mean? God with us. God came to earth. He walked side by side with man. He interacted with him. He spoke with him. He ate with him. All the things that Jesus did while he was here on earth, he did side by side with man, God with us. And then after his death and resurrection, he sent his Spirit. And his Spirit comes and lives within us, filling us and directing us. And so again, God, not necessarily this time next to us, but directly in us, God with us, filling us up. And so this New Jerusalem isn't anything different. It's all still part of the same plan. It's God having a desire to live with us, to walk with us, to interact with us, to be there one-on-one with God. This isn't different. This is the same continuum, and it's exciting. We will see God face to face. Think about that. When you go into the Old Testament, the people went to the temple, and God was behind the veil, and they brought their offerings to this God that they could not see. And then as you go through the Old Testament, sometimes God would become angry, and it would say that he turned his face from them, and he turned away. You know how you get angry, and you just can't even look at the person, and you turn your face? That's bad. And here we're going to see God face to face, straight on, as a friend to a friend. We'll see him. And he's no longer going to be veiled, and he's no longer going to have his face turned. We'll have this open relationship with him. One of the kind of myths about heaven is what our bodies will be like. You know, are we going to be the floaty, ghosty sort of, you know, bodies? Are we going to have a real body? There's all these crazy, you know, things in the movies. We will have a body. We are not going to be the floaty, ghosty thing on the cloud. I'm not sure how a ghost could play a harp anyway, but, you know, that's besides the point. Let's look at some scriptures, and you'll see exactly. We'll have a body. It's going to be a great body. It'll be great, wonderful, perfect body. 1 Corinthians 15:40-44. There are also heavenly bodies, and there are earthly bodies. But the splendor of the heavenly bodies is one kind, and the splendor of the earthly bodies is another. The sun has one kind of splendor, the moon another, and the stars another. And star differs from star in splendor. So we are going to have a body with splendor. Let me tell you something, this body doesn't have a lot of splendor right now, so I'm kind of looking forward to this. So it will be with the resurrection of the dead. The body that is sown is perishable. It is raised imperishable. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. Now, if there is a natural body, then there also has to be a spiritual body, and that's kind of what this is saying. But go back to Genesis, again, way back to the very beginning, Genesis 2:7. And the Lord God formed a man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being. Adam, first God gave him a physical body. He formed the dust of the ground, and he gave him this physical body. And then he breathed his spirit into this body, and he gave him life. And so the physical body needs the spirit, and the spirit needs the physical body in order to live. You have to have both. That's the original plan. Death was not a part of the original plan. Death came in as the curse and separated, ripped apart the two parts, the spirit and the body, and destroyed that life that God had created. And in heaven, those two are going to be reunited with this new body and the spirit, and we will have life again with the way that we were supposed to be, this perfect body that God had originally intended for us. Job, and as you know, Job is not one of my favorite books, but, you know, every once in a while there's a nugget of good stuff in it. And this is one of them, Job 19:26-27. Job says, "After my skin has been destroyed, yet in my flesh I will see God." All right, let's pause there for a second. After my skin has been destroyed, his body's gone. In my flesh, I will see God. He knows he's getting this new body. I myself will see him with my own eyes. I and not another. Not another. Him, Job. How my heart yearns within me. Think about that last part. Does your heart yearn within you to get this new body? Especially on those mornings when it's, you know, really hard to roll out of bed because you're hurt so bad. Does your heart yearn to get to heaven, to get that new body, to be in the presence of God, to see him face to face? Think about this too. Jesus had a body when he was resurrected. He came, and Luke 24:39, very familiar verse. "Look at my hands and my feet." This is Jesus speaking. "Look at my hands and my feet. It is I myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have. How many times did Jesus tell the people, touch me, put your hand in my hands, put your hand in my side, touch me, I'm real. How many times did he eat with them in their presence so that they could see he was real? Real bodies eat, and he ate in front of them. And he was real. He had this real body, and we will have a real body as well. Philippians 3:20. I forgot to fix that. 3:20 through 21. I have 12. 20 through 21. But our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who, by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control, will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. Our bodies will be transformed to be like his glorious body, his resurrected, perfect body. So just as Jesus got this great body, so will we. One of the other promises that we have about heaven is in heaven we will have rest. And some of you, I know, you would desperately love to have some rest. I'm oftentimes one of those. Now, this does not mean, and here again, this is another great myth, this does not mean that we're just going to be sitting around in heaven for all of eternity twiddling our thumbs. It's not that we're going to have nothing to do. It's just that we're going to have rest. Think about some of the things you do to rest. Now, sometimes you just, flop in the recliner and that's it, you're gone. But think about, if you like to go out and garden or work in the yard, or if you have a shop or something that you like to go to, or some kind of an activity, women, if you crochet or whatever hobbies. I'm making a rug right now because I'm weird and I don't have a normal hobby, so I'm making a rug. so, I'll sit when I have a little bit of time, I'll sit and I'll work on my rug, and that's just restful. That's peaceful. And I enjoy seeing the rug come together and progress. And I feel, that feeling of accomplishment as I watch it fill in. And that's restful. And I enjoy that. And so heaven is going to be activities and things that we're doing, but we're not going to have that stress and the worrying and the things that go with our lives so often. And all that will be gone. Revelation 14:13. Then I heard a voice from heaven say, write this, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Spirit, they will rest from their labor, for their deeds will follow them. There's two key things, and I don't want to dwell too much on the second one, but the first one is they will have rest from their labor. You will have rest. It's not always going to be this crazy, chaotic, stressed out world that we have now. You will have rest in heaven. But also your deeds will follow you. You better make sure you're doing something because it's what you do that's going to get you the reward in heaven. And I tried to stress this to the teens this morning because, if they can build healthy lifestyle habits now, I feel like they've got a jump start on things. But your deeds will follow you into heaven. And we will have rest. How wonderful that will be. Psalm 63:1. You, God, are my God. Earnestly I seek you. I thirst for you. My whole being longs for you in a dry and parched land where there is no water. Is that your prayer? Is that what you long for? I earnestly seek you. I thirst for you. Psalms 27:4. One thing I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and seek him in his temple. Again, is that your prayer? Is that what you long for? To gaze on the Lord and to seek his beauty? To be in his presence? We need to encourage one another with these words. And this is just the tip of the iceberg when it comes to heaven. This is just a few things that I pulled out for tonight, because otherwise, we could be here for hours and hours and hours. Look at the size of that book, right? there's a lot of things. And so I encourage you as you read through the Bible to really pay attention when it talks about heaven and think about what's coming. dwell, ponder on these thoughts and spend time in prayer seeking God's understanding of what the passages are saying. Because there's so much in our Bibles about heaven. And for whatever reason, I guess because it's not a story, I don't know. But we tend to gloss over it and we don't really pay attention. And I know a lot of people, you know, you say, when was the last time you read the book of Revelation? Yeah. You know, that scares people. You know, I don't like going there. Make a point this week, tonight, as soon as possible. Read Revelation 21 and 22, last two chapters of the Bible. And there is so much about heaven. God ends the Bible with this amazing, encouraging, thrilling note about what God and heaven are like and what it's going to be like for all eternity and how we're going to be in his presence. These passages are just so rich with the imagery and the promises of God in heaven. And it's also very rich and telling in exactly who is going to be there and who is not. And so pay attention to those verses as well and make sure that, you know, you've got your name written in the right book. But read those. I encourage you, the last two chapters of the Bible, read them every day. They are just so exciting. And talk about what heaven is going to be like. To encourage one another. And not just, you know, the Bible says to encourage one another with these words, but I thought, you know, if I would just remind myself personally, it would be very encouraging just to me, myself, you know, if I wake up and I say, you can make it through this trial because look at the goal. Look at what's coming. Look at eternity. This book gives an illustration. It's got a circle and it says, you're living in the circle. This is your life. And it says, it has a line, a ray coming out from the circle. And it says, you're living in the circle, you're living for the line. Because that just keeps going and going and going. And you know, when the going gets tough in that circle, and you think, oh, God, you're giving me more than I can bear. Remember eternity. And it'll put everything in the proper perspective. And you'll say, okay, yep, I can get past this. That'll give me strength. I will get to spend eternity with God. In his presence, face to face, in this glorious new heaven and new earth. And the satisfaction of my life at that point will be far more. And I won't even remember all this previous stuff. All the promises, I encourage you to read them. That's where the great scripture too, he'll wipe every tear from the eye, no pain, you know, that one, that's found there, you know. Great, great stuff in those last two chapters. So read them often. And dwell on them and think about them and be excited and share that excitement with the people around you. So I hope this wasn't too much of a disappointment, that it wasn't a missions lesson. And I hope that you're glad you came tonight. And hey, we're out about 5 minutes early, so that's always a plus too, you know. let's have a word of prayer and then you're dismissed. Heavenly Father, thank you that you have a plan, and thank you for sharing that plan with us and for wanting to spend eternity with us. And God, help us when the going gets rough to remember that you are in control and that all things are in your hands and that we will spend eternity in heaven with you in your presence. Oh God, I can't even imagine. You tell us about it and you give us so many details, but even still, it will just be beyond belief to see this new Jerusalem and what our lives will be like there with you. God, thank you for these promises. And may we always keep them in our minds and fresh. And God, may we turn to them often and help us when we get discouraged to remember the new Jerusalem and the new earth and our lives with you, Lord. Help us to remember. Amen.